Future-proof extra from News Talk.
Now, I'm showing my age a little bit here, but we were one of the first people to have a home computer in our house. When I was a very young kid, we got a ZX80, which was made by a company called Sinclair, and it had less than 1 kilobyte of memory. It was a very, 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 very tiny amount of processing power. But I still got to make and play my own games, as simple as they were. Nowadays, gaming is a totally different experience. And not only is it high def and 3D and amazing 4K graphics, but it's also become a professional sport. Esports is a multi-billion dollar industry, and Irish researchers are trying to find a way to get people who play them to play them better, faster. I'm joined now by Mark Campbell. He is director of Liro's Esports Science Research Lab. He's also a lecturer in sports psychology at the University of Limerick. Mark, welcome to the program. This is really interesting stuff to me. As a gamer, I didn't realize we had an esports lab in Ireland.
Thanks for having me on, Jonathan. Yes, here in Liro, the Science Foundation Ireland Centre for Software Research, we have Ireland's first esports science lab and Europe's first esports science lab. So we're in early, and we're going about 5 years now. So we've established a bit of momentum.
Explain the esports industry for people who haven't heard about it.
Yeah, so esports is semi-professional or professional or competitive computer gaming. So people playing for prize money and so on. It's a very ubiquitous industry now. It's worth, as you say, multi-billions. There's lots of professional teams out there who play on a roster. They travel around the world. They fill out arenas. It's a whole counterculture for people who aren't familiar with, you know, gaming. You might have 100 million people, in excess of 100 million people playing one esport every month, which would be League of Legends. So there's a huge surge in popularity for esports and for competing in gaming. So people with a half decent broadband connection and some decent tech can play and compete from their bedrooms to through to filling out arenas around the world.
Wow. Okay, so these young teens to early 20s are playing these games. Presumably you need lightning fast reflexes, and that's where this lab comes in. Tell me a little bit about the experience of playing these things and the skills that are required and how you might help.
Yeah, so esports places a lot of demands on the performers. Like you said there is an element of fast reaction time, sensory motor or fine motor skills. But there's also, you know, what we call cognitive athletes. Esports requires, you know, rapid decision making, spatial navigation, attentional control, cognitive control, all these lovely facets of kind of neurocognitive attributes and skills. So from a scientific point of view, you know, esports presents this beautiful natural lab from which to study some of these skills and attributes from. And this is what we're doing at the Liro Esports Science Research Lab.
So to some people, this sounds ridiculous that this is a sport at all, that you could watch someone do this and fill out a stadium, that you could be paid $400,000 a year to play video games. But that you talked about mental athletes or cognitive athletes. While that sounds like a bit of a joke, to some people, as a gamer, I totally understand what you're talking about. I have seen, I play a game called Call of Duty, and if you're running, you need to know what gun you're holding, because that changes the speed at which you can run. If you're seeing someone in the distance, you need to know if you can get to somewhere before then, what sort of weapon you need, whereabouts you need to hit them on the body as they run and trying to make their own counter decisions. I mean, when you think about all the things you need to do very, very quickly to ensure that you get to them before they get to you, it's a lot of processing power on the brain. Do you measure that at all? Before we talk about how you improve it, I mean, what sort of power outage from the brain is required during these games, do we know?
Yeah, so Here in the Esports Science Lab, we have eye tracking devices which measure visual attention, where they're looking during a task. We can also measure pupil dilation during the task. So that's an indirect measure of brain activity during the task. We have EEG and FNIRS and TDCS. So they're all neuroimaging attributes. So we can measure the amount of electrical activity in particular brain areas as they're doing a task.
I presume the brain is just firing all over the place when this is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of multi-sensory integration happening while you're gaming. So not only are you listening very intently and concentrating, you know, quite hard, you're also navigating your way around. You're using your vision. So lots of different parts of the brain are highly activated for up to 90 minutes. So some of these matches take up to 90 minutes. And these guys train for 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. So that's a lot of brain activity required, or a lot of bandwidth there to come around with. So we can measure a lot of these in the lab, and we have done some of this to date.
What I was really interested in is your attempts to try and improve learning. So tell me about this transcranial direct stimulation. It's something we've talked about on the program before, a sort of a fringe science that had been picked up by the military in America and some people online. I hadn't realized that Irish researchers were actually passing electrical currents through people's brains to help them learn better.
Yeah, so TDCS is a very promising technique whereby you run a small electric current over a particular part of the brain. So you're wearing a nice headset there, Jonathan. So there's lots of commercially available devices. One we use is called Halo. It's a Halo neuroscience device. It's just like your headset there, except it has small kind of soft spikes on them, which conduct this current between ear to ear over the top of your head. And this part of your brain is the is known as the primary motor cortex, or the M1. And this is where we learn a lot of our movements, particularly with our fingers and our hands and our legs and so on. So it's the big site of kind of motor learning. So what we do is we run this small electric current, 2 to 3 milliamps, really small, you barely notice it. And what it does is it excites the underlying neurons associated with motor learning so that we can improve the efficiency or the firing rate with which the brain can send signals back down to the muscles.
Do we know what the mechanism is there? Like, what exactly is happening that these experiments so far have seemed to show that passing this electricity through the brain helps learning?
Yeah, so it excites the neurons underlying the cortex of these areas. So by exciting these neurons, we can increase the potentiation of them, or how quickly they can fire or wire. You know, so what we're doing is we're almost creating a neural cascade whereby there's the neurons connecting one another are firing at a faster and a more efficient rate. And we think that this then leads to, you know, a better signal being sent down to the hands or the muscles that are involved in the task that you are trying to train.
Right. Tell me about the experiment, because you managed to see quite a significant increase for some players by applying this electrical current to their brain while they were playing it. Tell us what you found.
Yeah, so here in LIRO, the Science Foundation Ireland Centre for Software Research, we developed bespoke software which measures gaming skills. In the case of our study, we wanted to look at flicking. So flicking would be moving your mouse cursor over a target as quickly and accurately, precisely as possible. So it's, you know, it's the ability to move your gun and shoot a target very, very quickly, which is a key skill in any kind of first-person shooter games like your Counter-Strikes or your Call of Duties. In our case, it was a Counter-Strike environment we had them in. And we got 149 participants into the lab. We got them in over 8 days. We had high skilled gamers, lower skilled gamers, and novice gamers. And we got them in, we trained them up. We got them to do this software flicking test for 10 minutes a day. Some of them had electrical stimulation over their brain. Some of them had a sham. stimulation over the brain. In other words, the device came on and turned off so that they didn't actually get any benefits from it. And others just wore a headset. So we had good experimental control. And what we found, Jonathan, was that after 3 days of 10 minutes of training, all the groups, high skilled, lower skilled and novice gamers, all significantly improved their performance on flicking or targeting with this task. So
now they're going to do that anyway because they're repeatedly practicing something, right? So how do you negate for that?
Yeah, so this idea of controlling for practice effects. So I think the big kind of breakthrough for us is that if we look at traditional ways of training, it's hours and hours and hours, more is better, etc. You know, and to actually find that people trained, you know, for 10 minutes a day for 3 days significantly improve their performance. It is, we think, kind of, you know, groundbreaking. Obviously, we had a control group in our study who didn't practice. They just did a crossword during the time that the others did their 10 minutes of flicking. So we were able to control for this practice effect and have this kind of pure effect of training and be able to see that. And in our case, it was around 9% improvement overall over the course of the 8 days. 9% improvement doesn't sound huge.
No, it does. It does sound huge because we know in physical sports how it you know, at the highest levels, it's down to the millisecond. If you're talking about, you know, these so-called cognitive athletes and playing video games at the highest level, a split second makes a big difference. 9% could be game changing. Really fascinating speaking with you, Mark Campbell from Liro. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Jonathan.